The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Next, finding deliverance from your afflictions, regardless of your past.
Did my affliction come out of my past sin? See, it's a problem when you have my kind of past, you have to think, are all my problems associated with it? And I can always come up with yes. It's all because I was stupid. Anybody else besides me? Some of you are going, we need a new teacher.
Overcoming your afflictions, next on Life Today.
It is always a joy to share this time with all of you and with you. Beth Moore is going to be sharing, and she's talking about affliction. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I have been married 50 years, but we have not ever had any affliction as far as conflict, right?
Oh, no, never. No.
We have really dealt with those things and not let them eat on us. And that's really part of what we're talking about in the incredible product, Heaven and Health. Now, I want you to listen to the subtitle. Discover the Blessings of Heaven While Living on Earth. And this really has a whole lot to do with how we think, how we live, how we eat, how we care for the temple of God. Betty and I have been married 50 years. We're having a wonderful time together. We're enjoying our grandchildren. We're enjoying life by sharing life, by loving others and encouraging people, and in every way we can, share how you can be better. For instance, when Dr. Colbert, who's been so highly accepted, whether it's on Dr. Oz or whether it is on Joyce Meyer's program, when he's helped her personally and her viewers, or whether he's been here on Life Today, and to write a book, The Seven Pillars of Health, The Natural Way to Better Health for Life, and I got news for you. He actually is addressing the supernatural way, and that's what we're talking about. And with Beth Moore teaching on affliction, which contributes, the afflictions come in so many forms, so many ways, and how that can contribute to diminishing our health. And that's one of the bonus parts of the package of literally Heaven and Health. And we want you to get it. Well, Beth's going to talk to us about affliction. How about we welcome Beth Moore and her teaching? Here's Beth.
Did my affliction come out of my past sin? See, it's a problem when you have my kind of past, you have to think, are all my problems associated with it? And I can always come up with yes. It's all because I was stupid. Anybody else besides me? Some of you are going, we need a new teacher. Maybe you need to pray for the one you've got. Maybe that would be good. Because I have so much stuff in my past, almost always I can come with yes, it does. Yes, it does. But it may not. Sometimes it doesn't have anything to do with it. I don't live in that pattern of defeat and sin that I used to and haven't for years, and yet I still deal with this affliction of having these ongoing visits of a time. Again, I'm not saying a demon is visiting me. I'm saying it's just like a here we go again, and I'm going through this again. And then I go through the very same thing to be set free from it, and it's always the Word. But here's what I know. Whether or not my affliction came out of my past sin, because I don't really think this one, in a lot of ways, is not associated with it in the current. Does trouble and affliction, notice the order, consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive what? Say it again. Forgive all my sins. What I have found is my affliction and my trouble makes it a whole lot easier to sin. Anybody? So whether or not my sin had anything to do with causing the affliction or the trouble, man, it makes it easier to sin, doesn't it? because my trouble makes me cranky, it makes me irritable, it makes me just more carnal. Our affliction can just be the, I mean, just like when we submit to it, it's sin. It's sin because it has no power to defeat us. It is supposed to bring us into submission to Christ, not defeat us. So here's what I love, because instead of sitting back, like my tendency would be to sit back and go, oh, woe is me. My sin caused all this. My sin caused all this. Oh, I bet this was all my sin. When the psalmist goes, you know what? Just like, get a grip, and no matter what your affliction or your trouble, ask God to forgive all your sins and mean it. Mean it. It's like, just here's the remedy. When you confess and you repent, you are forgiven. So I never have to go on worrying the next day, too. It's no. That matter was settled. So no matter what, consider my affliction and my trouble in the Lord, because that is so, so tempting for an area of sin in my life. Forgive me for all my sins. Look at verse 11 in the same chapter, Psalm 25, verse 11. I want you to see this because this is going to be somebody's word. So do not turn it off right now. Stay with me. Verse 11, I mean, he's all about how good God is to him, how he leads the humble and what is right. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. And then he says this, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Now, remember when he said earlier in the psalm, and go read it if you were not with us, when he says, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. What is he saying? Lord, I want you to remember me, but I want you to remember me free of my past sins. Anybody else? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just beautiful? I want that. And every time I say it, I go, Lord, I want that to be me. So the psalmist then says, just like, pardon my guilt, for it is great. And I want to say to you today, because this is a huge one, for no telling how many people we've got gathered here and are on the other side of that screen, listen carefully. Untreated guilt is the most fertile soil on planet Earth for growing affliction. I promise you, girlfriend and guy friend, that that is the truth. I'm going to say it again. Untreated guilt is the most fertile soil on Earth if you want to grow in affliction. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, it is. So when you've got all this untreated guilt, when you feel guilty, you have kind of an ongoing, I'm not saying every now and then, but I'm saying you got pretty persistent guilt, then I'm just telling you, you're just an affliction waiting to happen, because your ongoing guilt is your manure in your affliction field. It's going to grow it up. It's just fertilizing it over and over and over and over again. The question on the table for you over the next couple of minutes is, what are a few reasons why Satan would want you to keep a messed up conscience? What is in it for the devil if you keep a messed up conscience? That's the question on our table for the next few minutes, and I'm going to prove to you what he's got in it. And Lord, I'm asking you to give us understanding, because we're going to have to think up for a minute. We're going to have to think up. Turn with me. Leave something in Psalm 25. Go with me to Romans 9:1. I'm going to so hope it's still in Romans 9:1. Yes, it is. It was at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and indeed it still is. Okay. All right. Question on the table, why would the enemy have anything to gain by you keeping a messed up conscience? The Apostle Paul says, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. Okay, listen. For believers in Christ, when you and I receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, His Spirit comes to dwell in us instantly. It's not because we felt it. It's not because we go, oh, that I just felt that happen. None of that. You could go on for years without feeling it because we've not yet yielded to the Holy Spirit. But He moves in us, takes up residence immediately. And what He does is that the way the Holy Spirit will bear witness is to involve our conscience. Only, I found this in, I think this New American Commentary, and I'm sort of paraphrasing it, so it's not word for word, but this is the idea. And it says, as believers, our consciences are informed by the Holy Spirit. Only then is it really reliable, because it would mislead us otherwise. So, okay, if the Holy Spirit, to bear witness to you, is going to use your conscience at times to tell you something, and it's all messed up. The Holy Spirit could desire to so bear witness to you in a situation that God is alive and at work right there in your circumstance, but your conscience can be so messed up and guilt can be so all over you, you cannot even hear Him. You can't even hear Him. In fact, go with me just to Romans 8, 16. Now, Lord, give me clarity as I speak this so there's understanding. Okay, this is good, this is good, this is good. Okay, 8, 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit comes up and takes residency in our spirit. The Spirit is involving the conscience in a lot of things to bear witness to us. Listen, if I were a betting woman, I would bet you 10 to 1 that if you have a really whacked out conscience and a very guilty conscience, I bet you spend untold amounts of time conflicted over whether or not you are in Christ. Am I telling the truth? Somebody with a really good, they'll go back and forth. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't have any idea if I'm saved. Why? Because their conscience is so messed up that it's not bearing witness with the witness of the Holy Spirit. So we don't even know. So all this that would be revealed to us, so much is not revealed, but so much would be. But if we've got a whacked out conscience, we cannot even hear or experience the bearing of the witness of the Holy Spirit because He's working with a conscience that is not cooperating. So my conscience is always telling me something contrary to it. And I just am so wrapped up in the guilt, I can't get out from under. Is that making sense to anybody? So here's what we've got. Listen to Hebrews 10:22. You can jot down the address and hear it with all of your heart. I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV because it doesn't get better than this. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. I'm going to say that again. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Okay, do you have a guilty conscience? Draw near to God. See, here's the trick the enemy plays is, I can't draw near to Him. I've got a guilty conscience. Listen to the order. All we have to, we come with just sincerity. This is how we come to Him. I sincerely have a guilty conscience. Okay? Just, we come with sincerity before God. Here I'm coming with this. I'm coming with this. The enemy knows I can make you feel guilty enough, or I can help you, I can tempt you to feel guilty enough where you won't draw near. And then we're not going to have any power at all. No assurance at all. And so this is what He does. But when we just go, I'm going to believe the Word over my guilty conscience, all I have to do is have a sincere heart. All I have to do. And I'm sincere about it. I'm in pain here, Lord. I'm tormented by guilt. And Your Word says all I have to do is just draw near to You. And with a full assurance of faith, that Your Word says, what was the Savior for? But to pardon my guilt. And I ask Your forgiveness. And I never want to drop back in that hole again. Lord, I never want to turn back to that has caused me so much pain and so much guilt for so many years. Forgive me by the blood of Jesus sprinkled on my heart of flesh. Forgive me. And He does. And then you don't get up and go the next day, oh, pardon my guilt. He did that yesterday. You do when you feel guilty again, but you don't just keep doing it. Because why? Because He already did it. Then the next day, we're tempted to do it again, but we go, you know what? Now this time I'm going to thank Him for it. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I thank You. You have cleansed me from my guilty conscience. Now, where that brings us, I'm about to read another scripture to you, and then we're going to wrap up in a part of Genesis in just a moment. But I wonder if you would do what I just talked about. I have done it too. Oh, I've had some things in the course of my life that can leave you with a very guilty conscience. But first, remember when I was talking about scriptures that could be part of my testimony? I'll tell you another one. 1 Corinthians 4:4, write it down. 1 Corinthians 4:4. And I'm going to read it to you. It only says it this way where I understand it well in the NIV. So I want you to hear it. The Apostle Paul says something huge. He says this, "My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me." Listen to that again. He says, "I have a clear conscience, but listen, there has not been anything innocent about me, but the Lord is my judge. I've been through a lot. I've out-sinned practically every single one of you. I may have stayed in that hole as long as you did, but I've been there. I've been deep. I have been deep. You couldn't have gone further out of the will of God than I've been at points in my life. But I'm going to tell you this. Today I stand before you. My conscience is clear. I don't have that. That's not my problem anymore right here. My affliction will be better. But my conscience is clear. The only way I can come before you and teach with my past is because I know that the blood of Jesus has covered my sins and I am forgiven. I'm forgiven. I stand upon His Word, not based on any of my righteousness, but on His alone. I stand on what His Word says. It's what He said He came for. The Savior came to seek and save that which was lost. And the doctor, the great physician, came for the sick. I was sick. He has brought the blood of Jesus to cover my life and cover my sins. And I stand before you as not one who has been innocent, but my conscience is clear. He has pardoned my guilt. He has pardoned my guilt. That's got to be us. That's got to be us. If it's not us, we will absolutely bleed out in our affliction. We will bleed out in it. Now, I want you to remember that it says, "I've refined you in the furnace of affliction." Refined you, that's a great word. That's a great, great word. It means He's done something beautiful. He's cleaned us out. I want you to end this series with me in Genesis 41, and this is where we'll camp it. I pray, I hope so much this series on affliction was not just for me. Somebody tell me it wasn't. I hope so much somebody out there got a word from it as well. It has meant so much to me to get it ready. It's been something I've been thinking about for a while and kind of toying around with and blogged a little bit about. Genesis 41, I want to show you something. 50 through 52. Genesis 41, 50 through 52. Our last point that we made together was the love of Scripture applied separates affliction from destruction. And then we're going to land on 5 in just a moment, and we're going to find it at Genesis 41, 50 through 52. And it says this, "Before the year of famine came," it's very important that you see it's before the famine came, because the famine is what's going to lead to his family being restored. "Before it ever came, 2 sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, 'God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house.'" Manasseh roughly means God has made me forget. That can be a beautiful thing. Many of us need a Manasseh. I could use a Manasseh at so many times. Verse 52, "The name of the second he called Ephraim, for the Lord has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction." Listen, he was going to deliver Joseph, but he was not going to deliver him yet. He was going to let him be used of God to be fruitful right there in the land of his affliction. Then he was going to bring him out. And I believe that has been a test that God has put before me. Beth, I'm not going to deliver you from it until you get consistently victorious in it. Until you just want to go, "Oh, really? Do you want to toy with me again about this? Because I already know what to do. I'm going to, you know, because I'm going to be wiser than you." I mean, know what to do it. And when you get where that is your practice and we don't have to keep beating on that one, then we're going to move on. But really, Beth, what I want before I just move you out of your affliction and then you get to be all victorious, what about being victorious in the affliction? Yes. Because, girlfriend, there ain't no high like that. Mm-hmm. Guy friend, it doesn't get more powerful than that. Because you know something should be taking you down. Mm-hmm. And all it is doing is taking you down to your knees. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get better than that. Amen. Right there. Right there. five, and last point we'll make together in our series. Until we're delivered, may God make the land of our affliction fruitful. Fruitful. Say it back to me. Number five is, until we're delivered, may God make the land of our affliction fruitful. You got an affliction? You are on fertile ground. Now it's up to you what you're going to grow there. You can either grow the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of faithfulness and love of the Word and the true discipline of the Spirit, ministry, compassion, humility, or you can grow the most fruitful harvest of your life. Bend the knee. Get some of that fertile soil right on those knees. Submit and bear fruit.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
I'm amazed always by how God gifts people, how God sends us as His family, individuals who impart wisdom and truth and understanding and direction for our lives. Mm-hmm. And Beth does that. I want you to get the heaven and health, the blessings of heaven while living on earth, and the bonus DVD, Heaven and Health, that Beth has. It's a part of it. I want you to get it. Let me tell you about it. Robert Morris is teaching. Sheila Walsh, Dr. Colbert, we want you to get the DVD series, the CDs, and the book. And here's what we ask you to do. I think most of you know we don't sell product. We help people, which is the reason we're talking to you right now. But let me tell you something that we're about to do. Now, you know we have been feeding the hungry in Africa for nearly 25 years, millions and millions of lives saved. Did you know there are more hungry, malnourished children in India than even on the continent of Africa? So by the grace of God, in much prayer and the commitment of missionary workers, we're going to build a huge food factory in India. It'll cost $2.4 million. We're going to ask you to help us with that. And here's what we want to ask you to do. You make a gift, any gift, knowing that it's going to help us build that food factory, give food to hungry, malnourished children in India, and tell them about the love of God and show it to them in action. Or you can make a gift of $120 and know that you're going to help us take care and feed 5,000 children. A gift of $1,200 and we can care for 50,000 children. Would you do that? Would you say, James, we're going to take the love of God to India, to 1 billion people, and we're going to show it to them firsthand by extending the hands of God's love. For the gift that you make of $120 or more, we will send you the DVDs, CDs, and the printed material, the bonus message and teaching by Beth Moore. For any gift, we'll send you the CDs. If you make a gift of $1,200 or more, we'll send you the beautiful glass art piece, the collectible that is so beautiful, reflecting the glory of God and His love. Make that $1,200 gift, maybe $12,000 gift. Great way to end the year. Make a special gift, begin the new year. I pray that you'll go to the phone right now, take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, call us and tell us you're mailing it, and we will send you the Healing and Health series, Heaven and Health, right now. You can experience it. Thank you so much for making that gift of love, and we're going to make a divine deposit in your life and your future.
Hunger, malnutrition, starvation, all global concerns, especially for children and for the families who have to watch them needlessly suffer. With your support, LIFE will construct our first food factory in India, centrally located in one of the most impoverished regions where 4 out of 10 children are suffering from malnutrition. the factory will be able to produce an astounding 100 million meals in the first 10 years. It's a huge challenge, with an additional $2.4 million needed to secure the land, build the factory, and purchase the equipment. With your gift of any amount to help establish the food factory and begin to save precious lives, we'll send you the Heaven and Health audio series, along with the booklet, Healing Promises. In this series, Dr. Don Colbert, Bible teacher Sheila Walsh, and Pastor Robert Morris team up to help you discover God's promises for your health, wholeness, and divine healing. With your gift of $120 or more that will make it possible to produce 5,000 meals, you'll receive Heaven and Health on DVD and CD with the booklet, along with Dr. Don Colbert's book, Seven Pillars of Health, plus a bonus DVD from Beth Moore. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 or more that will enable Life to produce 50,000 meals, and you may request our new commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. We must move forward immediately, so please call, write, or make your gift online today.
So doctor, tell me, yes, just sir. Looking at the people living like this, yeah, amidst the garbage, right on the street, what are they faced with as far as, you know, nutritionally and...
What do you see? This is the real Bombay. And children do not have anything. Whatever food that this child is holding right now that you see, this must be happening like something very rarely that she gets. Somebody must have offered her this food.
Yes.
Okay? So they do not have any food. Whatever they get is whatever they pick up over here. Something
that
is lying
find,
down.
They just,
whatever they find. And if you see that child, that's a typical child of malnourishment. She's got a severe protein deficiency. And most of the children's hair color that you see over here, yes, is of extreme protein deficiency.
We need your help. We need your help. Pick up that phone for thousands and thousands of kids. It'll provide nutrition. Go to your phone right now.
I pray, and I not just hope, I pray, because I want the very best for you. We do. That's why we're here. It's why we bring guests in that can impart life, love, and meaning in so many ways and help. Heaven and Health. I hope you get it not only in the CD, but I hope you get the DVD. I think somehow just looking and watching and listening is so meaningful. And remember, we will send you the bonus DVD, Heaven and Health with Beth Moore. This is tremendous material. Thanks for watching. Encourage your friends to watch Life Today.
Tomorrow, Dr. Colbert.
And so what burnout had done, it had literally burnt my system out and it opened my system up for disease.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.